Hi everyone, my name is Sharif Sharif. No kidding, it's Sharif Sharif. So, not Sharif Square. Today I will talk about developing and validation of Boolean tube growth model for Red Delicious. But before I start, I want to mention, any time I say we, I'm lying. I just started 2017, so I mean Keith Huder did. So I'm just here to present the data for we did at Virginia Tech about the validation and development of the Boolean tube growth model. We used the model for prediction of the best timing for blossom thinning. As you know, we need thinning, especially if we are in Virginia right now, we are shifting from processing to fresh market. So we are mainly concerned about high quality crop. Thinning is a major issue. We don't do blossom thinning at Virginia, and most of this work has been done based at Washington State. Before our model, the blossom thinning, growers used to use 20% or 80% to apply chemical thinning at the bloom stage. This eventually was leading to over-thinning or under-thinning, and it wasn't accurate, it was subjective. So our model is based on a simple thing. If we can predict the timing needed for a Boolean tube to reach to an ovary and make fertilization, then we can apply chemical thinning after this time. So how the model works, we need first to measure the style length, because there are some differences between varieties in terms of the style length. The flowering ability, we have five styles, so we ask the growers to collect between 30 to 50 flowers and measure the style length. This is the first thing, and take an average. The second, this is the main thing about developing a model, is to predict the growth rate of Boolean tube, and this rate, of course, is factored by the temperature and the variety. We found varietal differences between apple varieties. And the third thing is to determine the percentage of king bloom needed for the crop. Most of the time, we ask the growers to start the model when we have 10 to 20% of king bloom open. If you have 10 to 20% of king bloom open, this will give you a kind of good crop. You don't need more than that. And once we determine all these factors, we apply the first thinning application. So the king bloom is the central one that we need for giving a crop. So here is how the model works here. So you have the threshold as the average style length. As average style length, it can range between 8 to 10 millimeter. And once the grower starts the model, here we start at about like May 6. Here we say, okay, we have 10 to 20% of our king bloom open right now and ready for fertilization. We don't need any side blooming after that. We start the model at this point, and once we reach, based on the temperature, we can predict the Boolean tube how far it needs to reach to 100% of the style and the cost fertilization. We need the first thinning application. We reset the model, we start the model again, but before reaching to 100% of the average style length, we ask to add the second thinning application and so on. So based on this, measuring style length is not a kind of challenging task. We ask the growers to pick between 30 to 50 flowers, and as you can see, we ask them to remove the stamens just to expose the style length, and using digital caliper or any other thing to measure the style, take an average and record it. How did we develop the model? This started about like 13 years ago by Ross Beyer at Virginia Tech. Then Keith Huder completed with the model, and Greg Beck also like collaborated in developing some of these data. At Virginia Tech, we used dwarfed root-bagged roots, and we used this for any variety we need to develop a model for. So we use this to allow us to put these trees in the cold room. So at the winter time, we put them at the cold room for the chilling requirement. At the spring, we put them in the greenhouse to push for flowering. We collect pollen. We start, after that, transferring a tree by tree or two trees to the growth chamber. And we adjust the temperature at 55, 65, and move 10 degrees further up to 100 degrees Fahrenheit. At each time point, we collect the flowers, We fix them in a fixation solution, and then we observe them under the fluorescent microscope using aniline blue as a dye. The purpose of this is to know at each single temperature how much growth we got in the Bollin tube, and based on these data, we make a kind of correlation between the temperature and the Bollin tube growth rate. So far, in the last 13 years, we developed models for Pink Lady, Fuji, Gala, Golden Delicious, Granny Smith, Honeycrisp, and the last one I'm talking about today is Red Delicious. As you can see here, 85 degrees Fahrenheit is the optimal temperature for the highest growth rate, but we needed to get all the temperature range so we can predict in advance the time needed for a Bollin tube to reach to an ovary and cause fertilization. We took this data together and we debugged them in the weather networks. We worked with Ag Weather Network at Washington State, and recently worked with NOAA with Dr. Greg Beck from Cornell to put all these models in the weather network. So the weather network, the main thing about this one, they collect data, weather data from all the weather stations in the area. So if you are a grower at Washington State and you need to use the model to predict the timing for blue autumn thinning, you can go to this website at Ag Weather Network, and you just put three things. So you select a variety name among the varieties that we developed the model for, either it's Fuji or Gala or Granny Smith, Honeycrisp, and you put the average style length based on the 30 to 50 flowers I was talking about. You select the station close to you. You select the model start date based on your observation. You say, okay, now today I have 10 to 20% of my king bloom open. There is a good pollination potential. It is warm enough for causing pollination and fertilization, and I want to start today. The model predicts the growth rate based on the temperature of the Bollin tube, and it tells you about the first spray date, the second spray date, and most likely if you need another date for some varieties like Pink Lady, because the bloom is extended for about like 4 weeks or so, you might add a third application. Some of the chemicals we use lime sulfur, we use JMS stylet oil, we use Croker's fish oil. So once you add it, this is after 24 hours of application of lime sulfur with the fish oil, you see the damage. So, but at the same time, you see the damage for the side bloom. Your king bloom is intact, is fertilized, it will not be affected, it will give you a crop. You can add the second application. So this was at April 21st, this April 26th, the second application causing more damage to the side bloom. So a very good and effective way of blossom thinning. Why do we need to make a model for every single variety? This is a question that might come to your mind now, because we found varietal differences. So any single variety, we found varietal differences in two things. First, the style length is different. As you can see here, the style length in Red Delicious, in Gala, is 7.9, in Golden Delicious, 6.79. The time needed for a Bollin tube, the Bollin tube growth rate within 24 hours, you see the differences in the yellow bar between varieties here. So we have varietal differences in the style length as well as the time needed for a Bollin tube to reach to the ovary and the cause fertilization. That's why we need to develop and validate a model every single time for every single variety. So validation of the model, what after the microscopic observation and after we collect the data about the Bollin tube growth rate, we transfer this to the field application. So we had growers at Washington State collaborating with us, and this is how we validate the model. We call them beta testers because they just like test the model for us. We give them training and they run the model. And once they run the model, we collect the flowers after that, we fix them, and we see the differences between king bloom and the side bloom in terms of fertilization. This is another validation. The third validation is we compare between the actual harvest and the optimal harvest or the one we predicted. What we found based on 2016 and 2017 validation data, we already had about like 100 beta testers from Washington State. 30, at least 30 among them, we collected data for microscopic analysis and for the actual yield compared to the predicted yield. So what we found based on the microscopic observation, we found that our model is accurate for red delicious. We found higher percentage of fertilized king bloom compared to side bloom. We also found that there is no huge difference between the expected crop load and the actual crop load. Here is just an example based on 2016 in five different organic red delicious orchard blocks at Washington State. The one in the middle is the percentage between the predicted versus the actual crop. And as you can see, sometimes you get 100% prediction, which is good. Sometimes you have underthinning. Sometimes you have overthinning. This is overthinning. Sometimes we have underthinning when you have more than 100%. But in general, we found that the model is accurate, is very precise. It is easy and safe to say 90% of any organic apple you have in the supermarket, they have used our model. Now, this is just a chronology of beta testing and release. That's why I'm saying I don't deserve any credit for this research. It started long time before me. It started about like 13 years ago. And when the model started, they didn't have the Ag Weather Network collaborating with them until 2012, but they used this spreadsheet. So they started with Gala first, and then Golden Delicious, and the last one is Red Delicious, and validated the model for Red Delicious as 2016 and 2017. 2018, the model was there this year. What I'm doing right now, I'm trying to make validation and developing for other models for scab resistant and disease resistant varieties like Pristine, like Liberty, Gold Rush. This is another thing. We have some people coming to us to validate and develop models for club varieties. So at the end, I really want to appreciate the people at Washington State, especially the Washington Tree Fruit Commission for supporting this research, and the people at the Ag Weather Network for putting this one, Greg Beck for his collaboration, and putting the weather, the pollen tube germination model on the NOAA network. I also want to acknowledge Leon Comb. He already retired, but he started this one maybe 20 years ago, working as a research technician at Virginia Tech. Thank you.